Broadcasting live from the True Crime Today studios to the world. This is Murder in the Morning with Tony Bruschi and Stacey Cole.
From the Hit Killers podcast, Murder in the Morning.
Not really surprised by this. A lot of people making parallels to Ted Bundy between Brian Koberger.
Do we have to go there? I mean, is that a requirement in this field?
I'm interesting to hear the similarities. Other than like he's a guy that women are attracted to, physically, and even I guess mentally, some of them. And that's how Bundy operated. A former defense attorney for Ted Bundy, John Henry Brownie, has drawn intriguing parallels between the notorious serial killer's final actions and the charges against Brian Koberger. The suspect in the University of Idaho student murders, Brownie, who represented Bundy during his trial, pointed out striking similarities in the actions of both men, particularly in the context of state lines, the death penalty, and their method of execution. Brownie noted that Bundy, after escaping from a Colorado prison, fled to Florida, where he committed more murders, ultimately landing on death row. Here's some guy who drives 10 miles from a state where there's no death penalty, from a state where there's an active mental health defense, to a state where there's no mental health defense, and the death penalty is very active, Brownie told Fox News Digital. I think it's just fascinating to me. I don't know what to imply from it, but I know the facts are the facts. Koberger, accused of killing the University of Idaho students in November of 22, is facing charges in a state with the death penalty, despite being a resident of Washington, where capital punishment is not enforced. He's accused of crossing state lines from Washington to Idaho, to a move that Brownie sees as eerily reminiscent of Bundy's own actions. Both men allegedly carried out their murders in similar circumstances, with Bundy entering the Chi Omega sorority house through the back door before dawn and attacking several sleeping women, and Koberger allegedly doing the same at a college house. Like Bundy's Florida State University Chi Omega sorority house rampage, Koberger is accused of attacking four college students hours before sunrise, entering through a back door while at least some of the victims were sleeping, Brown explained. Despite the striking similarities, Brown expressed uncertainty about the prosecution's theory regarding Koberger's motive, which remains largely unknown. I have no idea what the state's theory is about why Koberger chose these people in this house to go kill and leave a knife sheath that has DNA on it, he remarked. Brown suggested that a lack of clarity surrounding the motive would be significant interest to the jury. Well, Bundy's case eventually became clearer as a struggle for power rather than sex. Brown noted that the motives in Koberger's case are still unclear. As the case became clearer, we're dealing with 30, 40, 50 or more deaths. The motives became pretty clear in Ted's case. That was a power struggle, much more so than sex, Brown said, adding that many of Bundy's victims were not sexually assaulted. The defense team for Koberger, led by attorneys Ann Taylor, Jay Logston, and Eliza Massoth, has spent over a year aggressively challenging the case against him. It includes filing motions to strike the death penalty, which was rejected by Boise Judge Stephen Hippler. Brown suggested that Koberger's defense team should continue to fight aggressively. If I were his lawyers, I would start playing offense a lot, he said. Brown also weighed in on Koberger's defense strategy, suggesting that Koberger may want to waive his right to a jury trial, a tactic that Bundy used in Utah, although it did not work in his favor. He could waive the jury, try the case to the judge, Brown noted. However, he acknowledged that while the tactic could sometimes be beneficial, it would not be an easy decision in a high-profile case like Koberger's, where potential jurors may already have preconceived notions. Koberger, obviously accused of those murders of Madison Mogan, Kaylee Gonzalez, Zena Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin, who were all fatally stabbed in the early hours of November 13th, 2022. The trial for Koberger is tentatively scheduled to begin in 2025.
Did you follow Ted Bundy at all? He was a little bit before your time, I think.
It was before my time. I mean, I've certainly watched a lot on him, but I wasn't actively watching the case while it was going down.
It's really disturbing. I remember I was just a kid, and I probably shouldn't have been exposed to some of that.
Yeah.
Because it was quite graphic, some of the things that were talked about, and I won't go into them here because it's too much for me. This man had some serious anger issues, and duh, I mean, look what he did. But under the surface, this man was a volcano, and some could say that about Koberger too, because of how violent it was. But it seems like Bundy was on this rampage for quite some time.
Yeah.
Like it just was escalating and escalating, and each attack was worse than the one before. And it was just horrific. And I used to have nightmares about this guy.
Yeah.
As a kid. Oh, it's just terrible. So it's weird to hear him being, you know, this juxtaposition with Koberger. It's like, oh God, that guy is back from the grave now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah. I mean, and the question would be, if Bundy was around today doing this, would he be caught much quicker with technology and the way that we can track things?
I bet he would.
If we didn't have this sort of things, would Koberger have continued on, if in fact it's him? That's an interesting question. I don't know. Because I do wonder if it was to, in a weird, sick way, educate himself on what it was like to experience a crime from that end. For his own, I guess, knowledge of what he wanted to do in criminal justice in a twisted way. So would that have stopped then? Would that have gotten him what he wanted? Or would that have been now I want to experience this? I think it probably could very easily have gone on. And I think there was such pent-up anger and hatred towards women. It just seethes off of this guy. That he was just a time bomb and something set him off, or he felt he was going to somehow let this out some way or another. And I don't honestly think there was probably a whole hell of a lot that connected him to the girls. I think it was probably a very benign incident or something. And no more than Koberger was probably even thinking of it anymore.
Yeah. You know, to me, Koberger seems like he was learning about all this stuff and he wanted to see it in real life.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ted Bundy, that wasn't what he was doing. The guy wasn't an attorney. He went to law school. I don't think he ever passed the bar, or I don't think he took the bar. It's not that he couldn't. I think he was smart, super smart.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of differences there, but I just think there's characters like this that just have that hatred, and they're spooky. They're like, they're just volcanoes waiting to explode. And I remember, like, I've worked with some, and it's like, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You and me both, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Thinking of the same one.
That one too. I was thinking of one you wouldn't know from another station. And he was younger but I mean, he could be a really nice guy, but then when he had something was wronged by him, or he was wronged, or something, I don't know. He really had a thing with women. And he just, in normal life, he just shied away and just didn't get involved with anybody. But behind the scenes, he had like this hate. And it was like, so you gotta, this is not okay. Like, you've got to figure out what's going on here. Cause it was so light a match aggressive. It would come out of nowhere when you would be talking to him in private. And it was just, people like that just creep the shit out of me.
Do you ever like walk into a gas station to go, you know, grab like a Gatorade or something, and you look around, there's just somebody in there that just gives you the willies. You're like, ooh, something's not right with you.
Yeah. It's
and you're wondering, are you this person? Are you a Ted Bundy? Are you a Koberger? Do you just, you know, cause sometimes you can sense the anger and the hatred off of these people just by being within their realm.
I don't necessarily get, are you a serial killer? I get you're probably a horrible father and husband, if you are that or whatever. And you, I can't imagine, you know, by the way you're keeping yourself here and the way I'm seeing you act, if they're doing something actively to someone or with someone, that anything in your normal life is remotely sane.
I remember I was, this is like 2 weeks ago, driving back from Baraboo, Wisconsin, which is down by Madison, about a 2 hour drive from where I am. And I had to stop at a gas station to put air in one of my tires. It gave me a warning light. And I'm like, okay. And it was pouring rain and I'm out there and putting air in my tire. And I go inside and there is a guy just losing his shit at person behind the counter because I don't know if he shorted him 50 cents. Yeah. Like just absolutely going off.
Like it wasn't like truly like probably direct. Like that's just the catalyst of what sparked him. Like
exactly. Yeah. But the rage in this man.
Yeah.
And when he turned around, his face was like red and he had like veins sticking out. And he looked at me and I just like looked at him and I shot him just this nasty ass look. And I'm only like, I'm under 5 feet. So, you know, I wasn't going to say anything. I thought about it and I thought better of it. Like, I think this guy would go the fuck off.
Yeah, probably.
And I, you know, we all have our bad days. My God, I had a meltdown once in Green Bay, Wisconsin at the AT&T store. I just had a meltdown, but I don't think I was attacking the person. I was just mad about the situation.
Except for the knife they had to remove from their body.
No, I did not do any stabbing, but you know, this is like 20 years ago and it was, I have an area code from another state. I have a, like, mm-hmm. I've had the same phone number since 1997.
Yeah.
Shit, you're not. And because I wasn't in my home market, they couldn't help me.
Yeah.
My home market is Minnesota mm-hmm. and I was in Green Bay and they're like, no, you have to go back to Minnesota. That was, times have changed. Yes. You can do whatever the fuck you want now.
Yeah.
And I got really mad, but I wasn't attacking the person. I was just mad about the situation. So, you know, that's the only time I can think that I really just lost my shit at somebody. But it's just fascinating to watch how some people will go off and it turns into they're absolute monsters. And I think we have a bunch of them in our society.
Oh, yeah, they're all over the place. Well, and what's fascinating about it is they can get triggered by anything. I mean, anybody could be potentially, if you're really in a tight situation or really just stressed the fuck out, whatever, you know, we can all be there. But then if you have some sort of real underlying rage that's never been dealt with or is never dealt with, suddenly whatever sparks your, you know, anger and rage, well, then you'll suddenly kind of be directed towards that, whether it has anything to do with your situation or not, mm-hmm. Which is very animalistic. I mean, animals do that sort of mm-hmm. thing. If they are spooked or scared or something, they're going to associate that negative input that they're getting that's scaring the shit out of them, if they can't identify it, with whoever or whatever in the vicinity they don't like or they have some beef with, and they'll assume that that person is the one responsible for it. I had a cat like that when I was a kid. And
I was just going to tell you about that. Like if a cat is scared and there's another cat next to it, it'll beat the shit out of the cat next to it, thinking that's what caused it to be scared.
Well, my cat thought I caused everything. Like there was a low flying airplane one time and it freaked the shit out of the cat and it attacked me. Tried to bite me. There was a couple other things where like just something, there's like a loud noise outside, like a dump truck drove by or whatever. And if the cat was in a weird mood or something, it would suddenly, it was like a horror movie. It would like slowly look at me and go, like Murphy, it's okay.
Oh, poor baby.
And I was like, I don't know, 8. and this possessed cat does this shit all the time. And then it viciously attacks me. It's,
Well, it's redirected aggression is what it is. Exactly. And it's not appropriate, but animals don't understand
exactly
that thing in front of them wasn't the original offending stimuli. They don't get that. Humans, we have the ability to work through that and go, that person next to me didn't do what I'm pissed about.
Yeah. If they use that part of their brain, that's the only, that's the downside.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.